Hello there. This is Sam Jones, Flash Gordon, and Denny Colt, a.k.a. The Spirit. And you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Hey there, you cool comic-loving listeners. Welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber, once again taking the show on the road. It is definitely convention season. Just visited a great one here in my backyard, Columbus, Ohio, as Wizard World once again took over the Greater Columbus Convention Center. I had a chance to attend, got to spend a little time with some of the guests. You're going to hear from them in just a few minutes. And you're also going to get a preview of some upcoming Wizard World shows. Wonderful Wizard World stuff headed your way today. As many of you listeners know, I took Comic Book Central to Wizard World a little earlier this year. That was in Cleveland, Ohio. If you haven't heard that episode yet, then after you listen to today's show, you're going to want to check out that episode. It's 115 for more Comic Book Central at Wizard World goodness. Now, for all those classic episodes of Comic Book Central, you can check them out a few ways. Of course, in the archive section at the website, comicbookcentral.net, there you will find links to subscribe to the show in iTunes. That way, you're not going to miss a moment of the fun. Subscribe to the show. You get every episode that way. If you're there in iTunes and you haven't posted a review yet, my thanks to those who have. But if you haven't posted a review just yet, much appreciated if you can show your support for the show that way. Let people know what you're thinking. On the website, you're also going to find links to Comic Book Central on Facebook and Twitter, where you can share the lair each and every week. Big thanks to those who are sharing it on social media. Stitcher and Blueberry, the lair is there as well, so you can find us everywhere. All right, lots to get to today. Let's kick things off with a little X-Files action, shall we? The truth is out there. And so was Mitch Pileggi. Mitch plays Walter Skinner on the series and in the feature films. And the X-Files recently made a huge comeback to television for a 10th season. I caught up with Mitch to talk about his return to the series. Joining me now is Mitch Pileggi. We've seen you just about everywhere. Welcome to Columbus, by the way.
Thank you.
This is your first time here?
In Columbus, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's been the fan reaction?
We're just getting going here, so it's pretty fresh.
We've seen you in just about everything. One thing I wasn't sure if we'd see you in again was the X-Files. Did that surprise you, the last season that they had?
Didn't. It kind of did a little bit, but I mean, it's like there's been a lot of conversation about it for a long time. So the fact that it actually came to fruition was made me very happy.
Yeah.
You know, but it was. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
It's one of those things. I've interviewed a bunch of actors and actresses, and they always say, I believe it when the check clears. It's always talked about. Everything goes out there. When did you realize, this could be a real thing this time? Or was it when the check cleared?
When they called up and made the deal with my agent.
I don't know if you're like having these phone conversations going on. It's like, no, this is going to happen. We just have to.
No, they just pretty much when they decide to do it, when they've got everything else set, they call me and they go, yeah, we're doing this. So I'm like, oh, okay.
What did you think about it? Because we're coming out of the world of the movies, we're doing the feature films, and now we're back on television again. What did you think of this transition sort of going back, and how do you think the season played out?
Well, I think it should. I think it's a show that should. It's a story that should be told on television. I think it's where it belongs. If you're going to do it on the big screen, you need to put a lot of money into it and do it right. I was very happy to go back and work with David and Jillian and Chris and step back into the suit and the glasses and play this guy again. We got to do it up in Vancouver is where it belongs, so it was very. Very cool.
Season 11?
Everybody's talking about it. Everybody wants to do it. It's just a matter of making it happen, you know.
If you were going to lay odds on it?
I'm a horrible, horrible gambler, but I'd say it's got a really, really, really good shot.
What are you working on now?
I'm just meeting a lot of folks around the country.
Touring.
Yeah, so I'm not working. Convention. I'm not really doing anything right now.
Okay, because I know you did some voiceover work. You played Commissioner Gordon.
Yes.
One of our favorites. So you're getting
interested in more voiceover acting, kind of getting into that?
I actually just did do something that I'm not allowed to talk about. They've asked me not to talk about it until it comes out, but it's a very, very cool project.
Very genre-related
kind
of project?
No, not really. It's very different.
Okay.
But I was contacted and asked to do it, and it's like an old-time radio play.
Oh, love those. We do
I can't say specifically what it was.
No, but that sounds very cool. You'll keep us informed.
Cool.
How can fans find out more about you and these projects when that is announced?
Social media? I guess follow me on Twitter, you know, or just check out on Twitter what's going on. And I kind of keep everybody updated as far as
Where are you on Twitter?
Mitch Pileggi 1. Yeah.
Okay. We'll follow you there. Yeah. We'll follow you anywhere. You're Mitch Pileggi. Of course we're going to follow you.
Thanks so much
for joining me today.
My pleasure. Good talking to you.
And by the way, folks, links to everything that we're talking about on today's show, Wizard World, celebrity websites, social media pages, I'm keeping track of all of them for you in one convenient place. You guessed it. You can find them all in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net. Everything you need to know, you're going to find it there. Also, if you're a fan of The X-Files, you're going to want to check out my interview with Robbie Amell. He joined the cast for season 10. I spoke with Robbie about the show back on episode 119 of Comic Book Central, so you're going to want to check that out if you haven't already. And a Wizard World X-Files preview coming up later in today's show. You don't want to miss that. So there's a little teaser for you right there. Stay tuned. Now, from FBI agents with flashlights to medieval warriors with swords, actor Kevin Sorbo, he played the title role in Hercules, The Legendary Journeys. He was at Wizard World. He was meeting and greeting the fans there. And he took a few moments to join me for a chat.
All right, joining me now is Kevin Sorbo. Sans sword. Didn't bring it with you. Is it hard to clear that through customs?
You know, it's funny because sometimes I usually bring one of the swords
to
sell at the table.
We
had one episode called The Sword of Veracity, and whoever had that sword could not be lied to. And I said, wouldn't you love to take this to Washington, D.C.? It'd be awesome. But anyway, because both sides of the aisle would be in trouble.
I think Linda Carter probably makes a few of those with the lasso jokes, too.
Oh my God.
I know. So sometimes you do have the
sword. Sometimes I bring, because they only made 500 of them, and I had 20 of them.
Oh, wow.
I'm down about 8 now after all these years, and sometimes I bring one to sell.
Now, were you a comic book kid growing up? Did you like comic books?
I was into the typical ones, Spider-Man, Batman, Superman.
Okay.
Those are kind of the mainstream ones that I read.
How about the Conan stories, the Kull story? I mean, did you get into some
of
those early
Conan
on, or was
that
your...
I did not know Kull until I did the movie.
Okay.
Didn't realize that he was Conan's father in the books. I did not realize that S.E. Howard killed himself after he wrote the book.
Yes.
So,
I mean, it's a crazy backstory with these things, too.
Well, the original book, the original strip was really dark, and it was like an X with the sex and the violence in it. And they wrote the script, and it got down to R, and then they panicked and made it a PG-13. I said, guys, keep that stuff in there. But
okay, so what was the panic part? Because you did have the Conan movie with Arnold, and that was rated R. What was the panic on their end? Was it just...
They were worried about, because it was right in the middle of my Hercules years, and they were worried about losing those fans, because Herc was such a family show.
Right.
And I said, I really don't care if I lose the fans. I want to do this movie the way it's written, because I want to do something... I don't want to do Hercules in black hair. You know, so, but it, what are you going to do?
And was there a level of violence, too, that like, maybe more realistic? Because with TV, you can only do so much.
Well,
is there something there that you wanted to...
I got to give kudos to my stunt guys and my stunt choreographer, because I look at these $200 million movies, look at the fight scenes, I'm going, we had better fight scenes on Hercules. But we had great camera guys. I mean, our head camera guy now has been second unit director on all Spider-Man movies and Lord of the Rings. I mean, this guy, I worked with some good people down there.
Now, on Hercules, you've done some directing.
Yeah.
You got to direct a few of the episodes.
I'm directing one right now.
What are you directing
now? We're filming in Birmingham, Alabama. It's called Let There Be Light, the heavy faith-based drama. And we've been in prep the last 2 months in Birmingham. We start filming a week from Monday. I just came up from there.
Now, is this the first time you've directed since Hercules?
No,
or
I've done some in between.
Okay.
This is one I'm very excited about.
What's the challenge of acting in the scene, directing the scene, and also it being a huge stunt driven show, a lot of moving parts?
Well, when I started directing Hercules, I knew I had a good team behind me. It was the third year of the series. I knew everybody in the crew really well. My DP and I spent a lot of time together offset, prepping. I did a lot of weekends.
A lot of questions.
I did. I learned a lot. I know what I want. I think everybody, you read a book, you read a script, you see it in your brain. That's why so many times people say, oh, the book is so much better. You know, so to me, it's like, I know what my vision is, but the DP is there to keep me in line. Basically say, you know what, with the sunlight here at that time of day, it's not going to be good for this. I mean, I rely on them. I just know what I want. I say, I don't care what lens this is going to be, but this is what I want. And they go, oh, that's the 35. I go, okay, good.
I got to ask you a quick question about Andromeda, too, because we think about Gene Roddenberry, you think about Star Trek, a lot of ideas, but none sort of morphed into something successful. But Andromeda was one of these that worked out. What of Gene Roddenberry's thoughts, his ideas? Because I know it was just like some basic outlying ideas that he had for the script, and they sort of fleshed it out from there. Yeah. But what sort of spirit of Gene Roddenberry would you say is in the series?
Well, number one, I was about to do seasons 8, 9, and 10 on Hercules. I was in contract negotiations. I got a call from Majel Roddenberry and said, look, I got a show my husband wrote right after Star Trek. This is the first captain after Captain Kirk. And we were the number one show for all 5 years. It would have gone longer, but it was owned by the Tribune Company. They went bankrupt. We were the only thing making money for them. Stargate never beat us in the ratings, and yet they got a 10-year run, and we got canned after five. So a little frustrating.
but you're much over that now, right?
Well, not really. I would have wanted the full 7 years we had planned out for, because I was going to leave after seven anyway.
Yeah.
But
did you kind of channel Kirk when you were doing this? Did you kind of channel that spirit of Kirk?
You know, it's kind of funny. I mean, the show was different. I mean, I've become very good friends with him, which is kind of funny through the years. But the show, the way it was written, I didn't look at it that way.
So how can fans find out about you? Twitter, Facebook?
They go to the official Facebook page of Kevin Sorbo. A lot of people tend to be me. So it's the Kevin Sorbo official Facebook page. So you got to go to the long, drawn-out one.
It's a mouthful, but we'll find you.
Twitter's at K-Sorbs, K-S-O-R-B-S. Somebody sold my name there. So I'd use my nickname, Sorbs.
You're Hercules. Can't you go after him with a sword?
No.
Can't you take care of this?
They want me to pay for it. I said, it's my name. But this guy in Calgary stole a bunch of celebrity names when they came out in the 90s with the dot-com world.
Another battle for Hercules.
Or they go to kevinsorbo.net. I couldn't get kevinsorbo.com, but .net. You can go there. I got a lot of merchandise for sale. I got original Hercules and Andromeda merchandise.
Okay.
A little more expensive because it's
the
one
sword?
Of the time.
We got the sword out there?
I got swords from Hercules on there.
There we go.
Some guy just came in and bought three of them for $1,200 each. They're one of a kind. They're the same. My entire crew, props department, wardrobe, everybody, went on to work in Lord of the Rings. So I got some good... Weta Group that did all of our creatures.
Another New Zealand connection. Well, that's where you shot
Hercules. That's where I shot Hercules. I lived there for 7 years.
Hey, thanks so much for spending some time with me on Comic Book Central today.
All right.
All right, next up, we are going into the audio booth with one of the most prolific voiceover actors in the business, Robin Atkin Downs. Now, if you've seen Batman v Superman, if you've seen Suicide Squad, then you have heard Robin in those films. Feature films, television shows, video games. Man, he's portrayed so many characters, such as Harvey Dent, Harvey Bullock, Alfred Pennyworth, Manchester Black, Deathstroke, Oliver Queen, Baron Zemo, Mr. Fantastic, Abomination. Man, the list goes on and on. It is seemingly endless. There's so many characters he's played. You have also seen Robin in shows like Babylon 5 and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So let's hear from Robin right now.
I'm talking with Robin Atkin Downs, voiceover artist extraordinaire, live action. You do it all. Which do you prefer, live action or do you like the voiceover stuff? The voiceover stuff, everyone says you can show up in your shorts and your t-shirt.
Right. Yeah, some people do show up that way. I like it all. I like, you know, I always wanted to be involved in all types of media, and I'm having a great time, you know, just having a taste of... different pieces of the industry.
You've done so many voiceovers, so many characters. How do you face the challenge of making them different or putting different spins on them? Because once you get into hundreds and hundreds, it's just amazing. How do you approach each character?
Most of the characters, whether it's on camera or off camera, you know, obviously start with a script. And if so that's where I start. Most of the time they have... some type of image of the character that helps me put together the
voice. That's what I wanted to ask. Is there something, like, do you do some research into the character, or do they put a picture up, or do they say, here's this, and then you kind of start to get a vibe of who that character is?
You know, it's all different. Sometimes you're voicing somebody like Mamra from the Thundercats that has already been established, so you know the history, you basically know what you're going for. Other times, they're telling you, I don't know, the guy's 7'6" and he's got a big mouth, and we don't know what he's going to look like.
Can you act 7'6"? Like, how do you do stand on something? Do you get physical with it?
Yeah, you just create the voice based on whatever that character is.
Okay.
You use your imagination and, you know, just do it like any other character. Just create it.
You're kind of the go-to guy for Abomination now. So this is, you're sort of the go-to actor. How challenging is that, and like how much of a rest do you have to take after your sessions? Because that is that like real deep.
Yeah.
Can you give us like a half second of Abomination?
You know, I found like this niche in creature voices, which has been, you know, a very interesting ride. Like I voiced Doomsday and the Batman. I've got some stuff coming up in Suicide Squad next week, which I'm pretty excited about. And so
now, live action or voice stuff for Suicide Squad?
Yeah, for the movie. Yeah, there's some
doing some voiceover character.
Yeah, I'm Angelo on there, and there's another big character that I can't talk about.
Okay,
that I'm voicing.
We'll look for it.
They just released the cast list today, so that's all online now.
Nice. Okay.
Spoilers, you know, out there. So you know, I got into this niche work, and it's, you know, now I'm on the Strain. I'm voicing the Master, third season. So it's been a real fun ride doing that, but it can be very taxing on your voice because, you know, sometimes your vocal cords, you know, you're just mashing them together or screaming to get these effects out.
You mentioned Batman v Superman. I don't know if a lot of people know, but you are Doomsday in
I was Doomsday.
So you came in when it was completely done.
No, not completely done. I came originally. I didn't even know it was Doomsday when it first came out.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
oh,
it was basically just this huge... It was an outline of a character, you know, because most of it was mostly CGI. And so it was just voicing this creature. And then come to find out it was Doomsday. So that was pretty cool.
Do you have a particular favorite of all the characters you've done? Because it's... I mean, the list just goes on. You've even done Oliver Queen. We're celebrating 75 years of Green Arrow.
Oliver
this year.
Queen.
You even got in the world of Green Arrow.
That was fun. I loved voicing Manchester Black, Superman versus the Elite. I don't know, I'm so lucky in my career that I'm, you know, creatively fulfilled pretty much every day. And I get to work on it. You know, I'm not typecast. You know, I just get to work on all these great characters. I'm just very lucky.
How can fans find out more about you? Website, social media?
Yeah, you can go to my website, robinankindowns.com. I've got all my reels up there. And Twitter, it's robin_a_downs. That's where I release usually all of, what's going on with me. YouTube sites, you know, I mean, everybody,
we'll follow
we all
have our
stuff.
We'll follow
around.
You wherever you go, man.
Thanks,
and we're looking forward
it.
To Suicide Squad, too.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me.
Yeah.
Okay, kids, time for a little outer space action with my next two guests. First up, man, I finally got to meet face-to-face with friend of the show, actor Sam Jones. You know him as the savior of the universe. He saved every one of us. Flash Gordon. Flash. And as longtime listeners of this show know, I interviewed Sam back on episode 59 of Comic Book Central. In-depth conversation about Flash Gordon, also the Spirit. He played Denny Colt, a.k.a. The Spirit. So much more we talked about on that episode. If you haven't heard that conversation, you're going to want to go back into the archive and check it out after you listen to today's show. I got to meet up with Sam when he was at Wizard World Columbus. Very cool guy. And we're going to be meeting up again very soon, as you will hear.
Joined here by friend of the show, Sam Jones. Welcome to Columbus, Sam.
Joe, it's good to be here.
Good to finally meet you in person. Yeah. It's been a little while since we chatted on Thanks. Comic Book Central. What in the world have you been up to since crossing the Mexican
wasn't
border?
Wasn't that January of, was it last year?
I think so, yeah. You were.
So we're talking.
You were crossing over. You were on some secret
talking about 18
stealth
months ago,
mission.
19 months ago, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I was a Marine before I was an actor, so we were talking. I was actually in the middle of a operation, a security op, cross-border into Mexico when we talked.
Yeah. You were kind enough to join me on the show.
That's fine.
We didn't violate any like international laws.
No, I was one of many vehicles, so I was pretty much freed up. Okay. But anyway, we've been real busy this past 18, 19 months. Been doing a documentary called Life After Flash, working on a series, developing a series and another feature film. And well, I've got another feature film coming out called Enter the Fist, It's a parody, spoof comedy about all the old Kung Fu movies.
Yeah. Right, right. Okay. Now, with the Life After Flash, we talked a little bit about that before. Has that been released yet?
No. We're still doing it. We're still filming.
Still filming? Okay,
yeah, we had a crew that was shadowing me, for over a year now? Well over a year.
It's like a reality show.
Yeah,
it's like the Sam Jones reality show coming up here.
But they're still editing and all that.
They've talked about a new Flash Gordon. Now, I mean, we've talked about this before. You know, is it going to be a sequel? Is it going to be a reboot? What do you know about it at this stage?
Matt Riley at Fox acquired the screenplay rights. It's been in development for, I want to say, 2 years. So,
are they still talking sequel to your film? Or are they talking about a very sensitive issue. Okay.
You know, they don't really like to divulge any of that.
Right.
Is it a reboot? Is it a sequel? Is it one of a kind?
Would you return as Flash?
Well, of course I would. Yeah, I told him. However you want to utilize me, I'm there. I'll make it happen.
That's excellent. Now, you and I are going to be chatting at Terrificon. It's going to be in a couple weeks.
That's right, the Q&A.
Q&A, so we're going to get into more in-depth
things. We're going to bring some surprises. So,
well, you just teased it
there. So all your listeners right there, show up at Terrificon. It's at the
Mohegan Sun. That's right.
And the dates are, do you have the dates?
I think it's August 19th through the 21st, but I'll check that out.
We have to confirm it. But yeah, for the Q&A, I'll be giving out some special gifts to everybody asking questions, right?
Okay, you teased it. Yeah, so we got that there. We're going to be looking forward to that. All the best. Enjoy Columbus. Glad we finally got to touch base here and go Flash.
Appreciate it, Joe.
Fans were going crazy for Sam at Wizard World. I wanted to get him back to the fans as soon as I could. So, yeah, man, you can expect the same thing at Terrificon as well. That's coming up. You just heard Sam tease that appearance. More on my upcoming Q&A with Sam at Terrificon at the end of this episode. Stay tuned for that. I'm going to be giving you more information on that. All right, I promised you more galaxy-hopping goodness. I'm going to be delivering on that promise right now. As many of you know, we're celebrating 50 years of Star Trek all year long right here on Comic Book Central. I've had a lot of guests come into the lair talking about Star Trek. What better way to celebrate than by going back with someone who was there on the Starship Enterprise from the beginning? As Lieutenant Uhura, she helped Captain Kirk communicate with aliens from those strange new worlds and civilizations, and she made television history in the process. Brains, beauty, boldness, and she wore a Star Trek uniform like no other. I am so glad I get to say the following words. Here is my chat with the one, the only, Nichelle Nichols.
Hailing frequencies open. This is a moment I've been waiting for. Look, there's no celebration of Star Trek 50th without Nichelle Nichols. Welcome to Columbus.
Hi, and it's a pleasure to be here and to be in Columbus.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Have you ever been here before?
Yeah.
Okay, when?
Oh, some
quite
time
a while
ago,
back.
But I've been here. But not always. I'm not always somewhere where I'm signing.
Right.
But I was here signing before, but not with this crowd.
What's the reaction you get? Because you go a lot more than I do at places. You're going all the time. What's the fan reaction you're getting at conventions?
Oh, fantastic. I don't go to many, so when they do see me, they're going, you're really here.
I see you all the time. Yeah. I think you go to more than you think you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were in Pittsburgh recently.
This year.
Yeah.
But I'll go a number of times, and then I have to quit for a while. Yeah, because I have so much more to do.
When you see older ones, you see younger. I mean, you're even seeing probably like little kids.
The fandom runs from just born to all the way to the other end. They're wonderful. The fans are fantastic. Because they really understand what Gene Roddenberry was giving to us, you know. And they're really dedicated to what it's about, what it said. It's not just fandom, you know, and we're not just celebrities. We care about one of another and what we're doing. They care about what we're doing and they're fascinated.
It almost transcends... fandom on some level with Star Trek. It takes it to a different level.
Yes, it's a you got it right. It's a different level.
Now, did I see this right? You were just cast in the 11,000th episode of The Young and the Restless.
Yep.
There's so much greatness about that. I can't even begin to describe. 11,000. Did you get to work with Eric Braeden?
I think so, but...
It was a blur. You had you in and out.
I worked with the stars. But what was... Eric. But what was wonderful about it is that long before I was out here doing all, I was watching The Young and the Restless.
You were a fan.
Yeah, I was a fan, you know.
Okay. You had to get your stories.
Yes. And to find out that I had fans among the people that were, I was a fan of, it was just amazing. It was so funny because we would be telling each other about, they'd be up, tell me about me and I'd tell them about them.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Now, you talk about the new Star Trek movie. You've seen the new Star Trek movie, Star Trek Beyond. Well, I think you were at the red carpet premiere.
I was.
A week or so ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What do you think of the new Star Trek, the new cast, the new Uhura?
To me, there is no such thing as the new. We're all actors. And we are fortunate enough to get to play in things that we love or that we care about. And so it's a wonderful thing because you can talk the same language with your fans, you know. Yeah.
Well, it's amazing that it's still going strong after all these years. I hope we get to see you in one of the movies. That would be pretty awesome. Nimoy showed up in it. They're talking about Shatner showing up. Hopefully we'll get to see you in one of them very soon.
Write them and tell them.
Well, I'll do what I can. I'll make some calls.
Yeah.
Michelle Nichols, thank you so much for joining me
today. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Enjoy Columbus.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Love, love, love Michelle Nichols. Man, how could you not? A true legend and a class act. If you have a chance to meet her in person, if she is anywhere near you, just drop what you're doing and go. Trust me, it's going to be an amazing event. That's all I got to say about that. And there is a good chance that Nichelle will be in a city near you in the months ahead, as you will soon learn. I'm wrapping up things for today with the marketing guru behind the tremendous team at Wizard World, Jerry Milani. Always enjoy catching up with the public relations manager for Wizard World, Jerry Milani. Jerry, welcome back to Comic Book Central.
Excited to be here and excited for the next few shows we've got coming up.
I would imagine. I think I'm catching you in between phone calls as you're running around Six Ways to Sunday. You've got a lot going on. We'll talk about some of those shows coming up. First off, fantastic job to you and the Wizard World team for the show in Columbus. That was fun.
Well, thank you. That's one of the shows that, you know, we've been doing that show for a while. It had a great history even before we took it over, and we kind of added some of the things that we do, the elements across the country to that show, and it really, you know, taken it, I guess, to the next level. But, you know, the fans in Columbus have always responded. It's our sixth year doing the show, and we're, you know, looking for dates for next year to bring it back. But we did have a great time, and fans have really given us some great feedback.
Always nice to have one in my backyard. That makes it a little easier for me on travel, too. I can just drive downtown, and I know where I am, which is always the fun part. You mentioned the feedback. What is the feedback you got, not only from the attendees that are coming in, because people are tweeting out all the time, too, but from the guests that you have? What's the feedback you're getting from everybody?
Yeah, you know, the first year that we did the show, we took it over kind of right at the, you know, a point where we just kind of had to do the best we could with it. We were in Battelle Hall on the other side of the convention center in a beautiful setting, but smaller. And we've kind of grown it little by little here and there. And fans just, you know, they like that they, you know, have a chance to meet some of the celebrities, but also our programming has really been expanded. So a lot of fans said, you know, I went and I spent most of the day in the programming rooms, and they appreciate that there's three or four selections at a time. Sometimes they complain, I can't do all of them because you've got two of them at the same time, which unfortunately is, you know, we can only have, there's only so many hours in the day. But, you know, fans have said that some of the touches like that, we did the Heroes Honoring Heroes event on Friday that we brought in some service people, and it just, you know, trying to do some things that fans can appreciate during the entire weekend, and you know, you get your admission and you can do a lot of things just with that, and then you know, you can get some photos and things after that are all, you know, a bonus. But just to come out, kids 10 and under free, they love that. You know, fans just have really responded in Columbus and in a lot of our other cities to some of those kinds of initiatives.
Yeah, it's one thing I wanted to touch on, too, because I know when you go to these comic book conventions, and especially if you go to multiple ones during the year, it can get a little pricey. I mean, you talk about, you know, the tickets, you talk about parking, you get in the photo ops and autographs and things like that. But there are some less expensive alternatives. I mean, you mentioned some of the breakout sessions. So what are the, like, are we talking Q&As and different things for fans that are going in that might be limited in funds?
They sure are. In fact, at our programming sessions, 95% of the programming panels are free. Now, some of them have small fees that might involve, like, we have these special, like, little workshops of painting and things like that where just, you know, for kind of some of the supplies and stuff, but almost everything is part of your admission. So the opportunity for fans to go to the Q&As with celebrities, or, you know, there may be a panel about one of their favorite shows, or, you know, for the DeLorean time machine, we have the people who own the replica that goes from show to show and all around the world. They do a panel about, you know, what it means to them, what the show means to them, and why they created this thing. WWE celebrities do there, the wrestlers do there. So it's a little bit of everything from the learning about art, learning about the industry, meeting or asking questions to celebrities. Fan engagement in those is really important for us because, again, you can come to the event, you know, bring kids are free, then, you know, that's part of the experience is going and, you know, and not
always
just
helpful, yes.
Seeing what you can buy. Yeah,
it's
a chance to sit down as well, because there's a lot of walking around the day of a show, but also learning something or contributing, because these panels aren't just sit there and listen. They're all interactive. They're all contributing. They're all, you know, learning about things, but also, you know, helping others learn things that you might know.
Well, that helps too, because when people get up and ask questions, it's maybe some things that the celebrity hasn't heard before or hasn't been asked before about a project that they, you know, did forever ago and somebody really enjoys it. So that's always there. Costume contest, you do those. One other thing I thought too, volunteering. If people just kind of want to get in on the inside, you're always looking for volunteers too, right?
Yeah, I'll go to both of those. First thing you mentioned was the costume contest, and man, do we do a costume contest. So Chicago's the one coming up next, and that's our longest running show. So we have fans that have been coming back to us. This will be the 18th year that we're doing the show in Chicago. It has a history before that as well, but our costume contest is a big deal for fans. I mean, people will work for months and weeks to get ready for the one night, the Saturday night of our costume contest. So people sign up during the day, and in Chicago you got to sign up early because there's still just a limited number of people, but everyone gets their crack. If you've signed up, everyone gets in front of the entire auditorium, which in Chicago is a couple thousand people, then it's always packed for the costume contest. They'll get a chance to come out, and and here is Deadpool. And Deadpool, you get out, you get your, you know, show off your moves, and then the judges will maybe ask a couple questions for the really interesting good ones, and then we do a kids costume contest on Sunday. So those are really fun things where fans are participating and being part of it, and, you know, not just up on the stage, but also the fans who stay to watch and really cheer for these great costumes. And people have really put a lot of time in, and they get to interact with people who love the same things that they love. So those are certainly great elements of our show, the costume contest and the kids costume contest. And then you talk about volunteering, and that's a great way for fans to be involved with the show on the next level. So our volunteer program, we have a few hundred volunteers, depending on which show we're at, where they're just kind of the backbone. You'll see folks all around with the shirts, and they, you know, have made the show what it is. They afford us the opportunity to, you know, be able to have areas covered that, you know, we have a staff, but it's not a huge staff, and for the volunteers to be able to do what they do makes the show possible, and we have a great program for that at every event where fans can do a variety of things. It's you know, line control, things like that, where you're interacting with fans all day, which is really, you know, an interesting, a lot of people watching, a lot of people learning, to working in the celebrity areas, to registration, to just everywhere on the show floor, you're going to see those volunteers, and You know, we have people who have come back year after year. We have some that go to various shows. You know, they live in Chicago, but they'll be at the Columbus show and they'll come to the Austin show. Like they're really dedicated, and you know, for them getting to be part of the show in a sense is a key thing. And for us, we're just really appreciative that people are, you know, interested in helping make the show a success.
Well, you mentioned the Chicago show, as this airs, days away. So we're looking at August 18th through the 21st, Thursday through Sunday. Man, huge show in Chicago, especially for Back to the Future fans, I would say. There's a special moment that's going to be going on there.
There is, and we were lucky enough in Philadelphia to have, for the first time at our show, Michael J. Fox, and for the first time at our show, Leah Thompson. And Chris Lloyd has only been at a few shows, so to have the three of them together.
The trifecta, man.
And it worked out so great in Philly that they all signed up for Chicago.
Nice.
Right after, like literally the day after, we were able to say, yep, they're all coming to Chicago also.
Cause you could tell they had fun.
You know,
yeah.
You never know sometimes.
Right.
You know, the first time someone comes to a show, like, you know, we think, oh my God, Michael J. Fox and Leah Thompson and, you know, Gillian Anderson. God, these are David Duchovny. These are great people. And they are, but it doesn't always work out that a celebrity loves doing the Wizard World or doing Comic-Cons. And it just worked out that Michael had a great time. Fans loved him. Leah Thompson had a great time. She's an absolute delight. And Christopher. So they're back for Chicago. So you've got that kind of big power Back to the Future going. Carrie Fisher's making her first Wizard World appearance ever.
Nice.
For Star Wars. So she'll be there. David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson together. Not too
and
often.
You never know. There's always a chance Carrie Fisher might spill something too. Like you might get a little tidbit about Star Wars. You never know.
There's, you know, what sometimes we get some huge break. Tom Hiddleston was at our Philadelphia show. There are still articles being written about the things that he said coming out of Wizard World Philadelphia. So a lot of times you get that little bounce of, you know, you're going to be the first one to hear it.
Could
and
be.
Suddenly it's going to be literally all of Time Magazine just had an article that came out this week. And there's Tom Hiddleston talking about what he said at Wizard World. So you never know what's going to happen when you come to one of our shows and go to one of these celebrity Q&As. They're sometimes a little bit off guard. If you ask the right question, you might get an answer that you, know,
relaxed,
you may not have heard.
Let their guard down. Yeah, Carrie Fisher's distracted by her dog or something. And yeah, you never know what's going to happen. Oh, you mentioned the X-Files cast. I know I'm caught up with Mitch Pileggi in Columbus. You got four cast members. You got the stars. You got Mitch Pileggi. You've got Cigarette Smoking Man.
Yeah, and that's what's neat for us too, is that to have, you know, for fans of particular shows, it's great that the stars are there, but a lot of times they really prefer to see some of those other characters that they might more identify with. Like The Walking Dead is a great example of that. We've had probably 20 different actors and actresses who have appeared on The Walking Dead at our shows in different times. And sometimes fans are just, you know, you can tell by the panels, you can tell by their lines for autographs and photo ops that sometimes people just like identify better with another member of the cast. And, you know, Daredevil, we have a bunch of the Daredevil actors and actresses coming out to the show. Deborah Ann Wall's making her first appearance. Charlie Cox has been at Rosario Dawson for the first time. So what's neat is that sometimes we go pretty deep in who's coming to shows. It's not just the superstars, but it's also people that fans love that are kind of that next level celebrity.
Yep.
And we're just excited that we have so many coming out to Chicago.
You've got a lot of Daredevil. Eldon Henson, friend of Comic Book Central, we've had him on the show. He's going to be there. Elektra, Elodie Young, she's going to be there as well. So yeah, if you're a Daredevil fan, Chicago is going to be the place to be. What's going on the rest of the year? What are some of the other dates you've got going on between now and the end of the year?
Yeah, well, we now really get into high gear. We had one show in July, we had two shows in June, but now we're pretty much, you know, hitting the rest. We have six more shows in the next 3.5 months, starting with Chicago, you mentioned, 18th to 21st of August. Then we go to Richmond, Virginia, which is the 9th to 11th of September. And then a couple weeks later, we're in Austin, returning for the seventh time to Austin, which is exciting.
Captain Kirk and the $6 million man.
Exactly, and we haven't had... We haven't had the $6 million man at our show in a while. It's probably been, I would think, 2011 or 2012.
Wow.
I think was the last time. you know, that we had Lee Majors at a show. So that's going to be fun for fans. He, you know, that's a show that you know, was off the air for a long time. It wasn't really in reruns, and then suddenly it's been back, and now with all these great digital networks like Decades and Cozy and all these shows are making a revival.
And he's going to be with Bruce Campbell. He's going to be with Bruce Campbell in Evil Dead.
And there you go. So getting celebrities like that who haven't been around at our show for a while, I think is always exciting for me. And I think fans also are going to be, you know, interested to see that, you know, William Shatner and Lee Majors at the same show.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Tulsa, Oklahoma coming up.
And Tulsa's been a really like one of those little sleeper shows for us. We weren't sure the first year what it was going to be like. And then suddenly, you know, 2 years later, it's our third year there, and it's one of our most popular shows. Fans just come from all over that region because, you know, Oklahoma City has, you know, kind of another show there. But I think that for what we do at Wizard World in that whole region there, and that includes like Western Arkansas and all of Oklahoma and, you know, even up into – you know, Kansas and Nebraska, we get fans from all around the area, even North Texas, that come to that show. So that's going to be a lot of fun for us. Then we conclude the year in Pittsburgh in November. So that's going to be a really good a second year. We kind of got started late in Pittsburgh last year, still put on, I think, was a really fun, good show. And we're looking to go even bigger there this year.
Yeah, I might have to meet up with you in person at that one. That's my favorite city on earth. So that's I love, I tell you,
it was my first time. Last year was my first time somehow ever in Pittsburgh. And wow. It rained, and I didn't care. I went to the Pirates game anyway. I sat in the rain for 3 hours, and I just, you know, we drove around. We saw it. I really liked the city. Cleveland and Pittsburgh might be my first kind of my first two like new cities. I'd been to Cleveland probably 25 years ago, but like for new cities that I hadn't really explored that we did on the tour that I just really love and want to see more of. Pittsburgh, I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, well, I'll have to tell you about Permane sandwiches sometimes.
I made one trip. I only got one trip out. I got to do another one this year. I got to do a little better. Yeah. I only went the one time.
I'm from Western Pennsylvania. That's what we do there. So, hey, nice. Can you give us a preview of some of the Ohio shows coming up for next year for 2017? Columbus and Cleveland. Can you tease anything yet? I know there's nothing out there specific, but can you give us a little teaser for next year's Ohio shows?
Well, what's good is Cleveland is early in the year. Cleveland is in March. So that is a show that we're doing a little bit later than we did last year. We're trying to move, you know, the really cold weather cities to be maybe a little bit less cold weather. So Cleveland,
cold.
We moved
it
from like
cold.
The second week of February. This year it was the fourth week of February. And next year we've moved it into March. So there might be, although we haven't had snow while we're there. We're still working. It's not only is it 6-7 months away, it's also there's 8 shows in between now and then. So what's happening now is people are starting to decide the kinds of shows that might make sense, the schedule. You know, Nichelle Nichols from Star Trek came to our show, and she's another one that had not been to a show for a very long time.
Yeah.
I think 2009 was, I think, the first show that I worked at Wizard World in New York in 2009.
Wow.
She was at that show, and that's the last one she had been at, and so it had been a while. She attended our Columbus show. She had such a great time. She said, sign me up for like these 8. So all of a sudden, Nichelle Nichols is on like our schedule like for the rest of the year and into next year. And
nice.
So she's the first one we've been able to announce for Cleveland. But there'll be way more, plenty more coming in the next couple of months. And that's going to be March 17th to the 19th. And we're having some difficulties with dates and things in Columbus, but we're working it out. This year we had to move it back. Moved it up actually about 2 months. We were in September in 2015. We were in July this year. So, you know, bouncing a show around is not great for fans who know when the shows are and when they can come and when their schedules are. And,
right.
you know, we were out of the school season. Columbus, you know, we're really looking to get a better date for that to make that an even bigger show. So people should just look on wizardworld.com. And we have everything is always updated to the second. Sometimes I'll go on there and I'll see a celebrity that's popped up in a city, and I'll go around to my talent team. I'll go, hey, I didn't know we got Nichelle Nichols. And they'll be like, yep, I put it up like 5 minutes ago. So it's really up to date exactly with what's happening at every show.
She was great. She was great. She was fun to talk to in Columbus. And more opportunities in the months ahead, too, with her. So that's – and it's Star Trek 50th. What better way to celebrate Star Trek 50th? You mentioned the website. Where can fans go to learn more about this, and where are you on social media?
Sure. Wizardworld.com is the best place. It has every show, every celebrity, every exhibitor, everything that's happening at our events. That's the hub. Please follow us on Facebook at Wizard World. Everything's on there. It's all targeted to you. So if you live in a particular region, you know, you'll get information for that region and for the shows that you're interested in. We're on Twitter, also at Wizard World. We're on Instagram, very heavy on Instagram these days. Just a lot of different ways, Snapchat, a lot of different ways to connect with us and to see what's happening at your favorite shows in your favorite cities.
Always a fun time to be had at Wizard World. Jerry, I know you've got phone calls to make and hands to shake and celebrities to line up. Thank you so much for joining me today. We're looking forward to these upcoming shows.
Thank you. We'll see you soon.
All right, there you have it, folks. My adventure at Wizard World Columbus. I had a blast. Thanks to everyone involved. I will say this. I made a few contacts during the show. Some of the folks you heard a little from today, stay tuned to Comic Book Central. I might be spending some more time with them in the weeks ahead. That's all I'm saying for now. Links to the websites, the social media pages that you heard about today, those can all be found in the show notes for this episode at the online hub of the Lair, comicbookcentral.net. There you'll also find links to Comic Book Central on Facebook and Twitter. Share and retweet these episodes, folks. Get Comic Book Central Nation growing. It's been heard in 140 countries. Let's keep that going. Share it on social media. Big thanks to those of you who are doing that each and every week when the show posts. If you're at a convention, if you're at a comic book store, wherever you are, tell everyone about the show and show your support by leaving a review on iTunes and Stitcher. If you like what you're hearing, that's the way to get the show out to even more people. You keep it growing. Keep those guests coming in. Man, you're a huge part of this, and I thank you for helping out and sharing the Lair each and every week. Again, my thanks to everyone who joined me on the show today. Jerry Milani, Mitch Pileggi, Kevin Sorbo, Robin Atkindown, Sam Jones, Nichelle Nichols. My goodness, what a lineup. That was pretty amazing. More with Sam Jones in the weeks ahead as Stuberman joins forces with Flash Gordon at Terrificon in Connecticut. If you're in that area, check out the show there as well. My Q&A with Sam is going to take place Sunday, August 21st. That's in addition to four other Q&As I'm moderating. Check this list out. Gotham's Cameron Bicondova, The Flash's John Wesley Shipp, Animators Bob Camp and Rick Hoberg. Whew, man, that's just what I'm working on. There's a lot more going on at Terrificon. You can find out more at Terrificon.com. Of course, all the information you need for upcoming Wizard World shows can be found at wizardworld.com. Crazy cool shows ahead for those folks as well in the months coming up. As I mentioned, it is going to be a busy week for me. I'm taking the show on the road once again to Connecticut, so I'm going to take a little time off before the next episode of Comic Book Central. The next regularly scheduled episode, that's going to be August 27th. Slight chance of a little surprise coming up before then. Not sure if it's going to work out. I'm going to try to work something out. If it happens, you're going to be the first to know about it if you subscribe to the show in iTunes. I think I said that a few times this episode. Also, follow on Facebook and Twitter. Whenever things happen, you're going to find out about it there first. In the meantime, be sure to drop me a line, joe@comicbookcentral.net. You can also click the Signal Me tab on the website. Tell me what you think of Comic Book Central. Give me your guest ideas. Some of you have done just that. We've gone out, talk to some of those folks. Tell me about your experiences meeting some of these talented folks at conventions this summer. I want to know what you're up to. I want to hear about your adventures as well. All right, kids, until next time, keep those hailing frequencies open. Keep reading those comics. Thanks for joining me here in the Lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content in this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations 3.0 Imported License. All of the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
Roger, Old City Station at 2200 hours. All is well.
Understood. All stations clear.
You amaze me, Commander.
Oh, how is that?
A 20-year space veteran, yet you choose the worst duty station in town. I mean, look at this place. This is the hind end of space.
Peace and quiet appeals to me, Lieutenant.
Yeah, well, maybe that's okay for someone like you, whose career is winding down. But me, I need some challenge in my life, some adventure, maybe even just a surprise or two.
Well, you know what they say, Lieutenant. Be careful what you wish for. You may get it.
Good evening, Commander. Is everything ready?
Step into my parlor, gentlemen.
Admiral Kirk, my God.
Very good for you, Lieutenant.
But it's damn irregular. No destination orders, no encoded IDs.
All true.
Well, what are we going to do about it?
I'm not going to do anything about it. You're going to sit in the closet.
The closet? What, have you lost all your sense of reality?
This isn't reality. This is fantasy. You wanted Adventure House this. The old adrenaline going, huh? Good boy. Now get in the closet.
Okay.
Go on. Go on.
I'll just get in the closet. Okay.
I'm glad you're on our side. Can you handle that?
I'll have Mr. Adventure eating out of my hands, sir. And I'll see all of you at the rendezvous. And Admiral, all my hopes.